If you will, find the passage, Romans 16, 27. We use this to intro every sermon in this series. Let me read it to you. It said, to the only wise God through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. Lord, you see all of us today, but you see me differently. You're tougher on me. I'm your preacher. I'm your teacher than anybody else in this room. And on me is a greater and a more strict judgment. And I know that. And I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you all. I want to say thank you for being patient with me. August the 26th, I had COVID. It's been a month issue for me. Some people get the 2 or 3 day COVID. I don't know how many day COVID I had, but I know that's happening with other people. And then COVID gave me the gift of pneumonia. And then it's been a sick 30 days. And you're probably going, I would just get the medications I need to get through the service and then go home and crash. And I'm not well, but I'm a lot better. And I thank you for your prayers. But I had worked, and you could say, well, other people could preach, and that's true. I don't want you to think I think I'm the main thing. I don't think that. But I had worked on this series a lot during the spring and the summer. And even if I had to be out here in a hospital bed with an IV, I was going to preach the series. So thank you for your patience, and also thank you for your prayers. I know I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, and Julie's sick and tired of me being sick and tired, and she's sick and tired of being around me all that time. So we've lasted 42 years, and these last 30 days have been a test on it, and we've survived, okay? I want to remind you with the wisdom graphic that we have, and that is that we use this verse, and I want this verse to be in your mind. I want you to recall it. That's why we give it to you in repetition, that he is the only wise God, and that wisdom comes through Christ. Today, we're handling wisdom in a little different way. We're going to look in four areas of influence on how the spirit of wisdom influences our lives. There are certainly more than four, but today we're going to focus on these four. So I want you to begin with Acts chapter 6, verse 3. I want to read this to you. And therefore, brothers, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of spirit and wisdom, whom we can appoint to do this duty. Well, what's the duty? Well, there are some barriers going on. There are some widows that are not being tended to. And a lot of research shows that some of the barriers there were, we had people who lived under different languages. And it would be like me sending you to somebody and you don't know their language and you're trying to figure out what they need and what you can do. But that seems to be a problem here. And so there's a complaint coming in that they're being neglected. And we know that scripture says that we are to take care of widows and orphans. We are to watch after them. So the disciples, they choose 7, and it's to serve the tables, really to make sure they're fed, taken care of. And they want to serve the widows. And how do we go about this with wisdom? How do we put this together with wisdom? But I want you to look at Acts 6:4 for just a moment, and we're going to see God giving wisdom in 2 different ways here. One is, he said, the disciples are going, but we devote ourselves to prayer and the preaching ministry. So the disciples are going, we don't need to leave this. We don't need to leave this. And we can't do this and serve the tables at the same time. You know, everybody wants that preacher that's just good at every area of ministry, right? He can just He's just good if he's public speaking, if he's a pastor, if he's seeing everybody and all that. We want that one pastor to be able to handle all the areas of ministry. There's no pastor alive that can do that. I just want you to know. You can keep looking, but you're not going to find him. And in that, they realize that if they took care of the widows, it would depart them from praying and the preaching ministry. Guys, listen, I want you to know something very true about Scripture. The greatest thing, nothing precedes the ministry of the Word of God and the gospel. And if we're not careful, we can lead our churches to where that's not the most important thing. If one of you all were to break out in tongues in here, that's fine. It won't scare me to death. That's fine. I feel better in chaos than I do in structure. But the whole point of it is, some of you would think, well, we need to pay attention to the tongues and not the preaching of the word. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to pay more attention to the preaching of the word than I am the gift of tongues. Do you understand me? It says even tongues becomes a minor gift. A lesser gift. So it doesn't override the service. Do you hear what I'm saying? In nothing precedes the ministry of the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God. And you may think, man, preaching today is silly and foolish. If you do, it means you're perishing, because God has ordained the proclamation and the preaching of His Word. He's ordained that. And so there, one ways that the disciples moved in godly wisdom is they said, we can't leave this. We can't leave this. We can't leave prayer and the preaching ministry. We can't leave that. That's where we have to stay. So what is the other move of wisdom? The other move of wisdom is to get and find other people who can serve the widows, and even in the language barriers, they're able to give them the care that they need. If we're not careful, we will neglect praying and the preaching ministry. You'll think more other areas are important. I'm not saying the preacher's important. I'm just saying the preaching ministry is important. So on these two, with prayer and preaching, usually now, spring and fall, I try to have a time that I can spend with you, a time where you can be with your pastor, and it can be under a little bit of a teaching mode other than a Sunday morning gathering. So after fall break, October the 16th, that's a Wednesday, so I'm giving a shameless plug right here for what we're going to be doing. August the 16th through November the 6th, those are Wednesday nights, and both Logans are taking the kids to our offices, and they'll be able to handle them there. Actually, they like it there. We're going to have this room, and we're going to be handling prayer. I'm going to be walking through praying. It's going to be like a little five-week prayer seminar. And I'm incorporating a man that Julie and I have been a part of in praying, a man named T.W. Hunt. And then also somebody who's led prayer seminars in our church, Hugh White. Hugh used to be the Presbyterian pastor on Main Street in Lawrenceburg. He now lives in Corpus Christi. But Hugh had a worldwide prayer ministry, and he came and led us in several seminars, actually, when it came to praying. So I'm going to be leading you through that. And listen, those of us who are in leadership here as pastors, praying in the preaching ministry and the gospel message is important. You've got to help us stay there. Will you pray for me and us that we stay there? Because the gospel message has got to be got to be delivered. And in that, it's the other wisdom is we are picking people. And look back in verse 3, Acts 6:3. We're picking people, and I want you to notice the criteria of who we pick. That they are full of the Spirit and full of wisdom, but it says they have good reputation. It means they're already known for this. It's not that we pick them and lay hands on them and ask the Lord to give it to them. Right. They already have it. In fact, if I were to find some people in Frankfurt that know them and bring up their name, they're already known for this. If I were to find some folk in Lawrenceburg who already know them and bring up their name, they're already known for this. We're not taking people and getting them necessarily to that level. We're finding people who are already there. There's not a leadership development plan in this verse. It's people who are already known for being full of the Spirit and being full of godly wisdom. Now, I grew up very traditional, Southern Baptist. In fact, the Webbs are over here, and their son, Dustin, and they're now their daughter-in-law, Grayson. I had their wedding Friday and Saturday. Even the rehearsal, I thought, was Spirit-filled. I don't know about you all, but just a beautiful wedding, beautiful couple. We even had a beautiful girl in there as the flower girl as well. I went back to my home church. In fact, right across the driveway, a house that I was raised in. And just flooded with tons of memories. Sean and Vanessa, I showed them a picture of my dad, you know, where they had the pastor's pictures on the wall. And I went through all that. But here's what I'm bringing all this up, my past. I remember church operating in this fashion, that there would be a nominating committee that would be appointed in the spring. And they would find people to teach this Sunday school class, to lead this women's group or whatever. And they would have all summer to do it. And as you know when they did it, right? The week before it's due. You would bring it to the church in September, and they'd vote on it in October, because the churches I was in, that was their fiscal years, not necessarily January through December. And so they were to get these people. And I can remember as a pastor and as a young man, the nominating committee not doing anything, and everything's due to present to the church. And they're literally going up and down the hall going, "Hey, will you teach the fifth grade?" And these people are bug-eyed. They've got them up against the law like they're frisking them like a police officer, you know. And they're, I got that name, you know. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Have y'all been there and seen that operate? I've seen it operate over and over and over and over. And let's just get a body, and no, we don't care who it is, and let's just put them in this position. And then you and I wonder why the church in America looks the way it does. Y'all listening? We're just getting people, and sometimes by coercion, getting them to do something, and there's no thought of this. There's no thought that they're already known for this, that they're full of the Spirit and of wisdom, and they're appointing them to do the other things. I'm just going to give you part of my leadership. Sometimes people create the ministry and then go trying to find the leader. I see who God is raising up and then build the ministry from that angle, instead of just going out and getting anybody to do anything. Because we're wondering, you know, the numbers of the North American church are plummeting. Attendance, baptisms, everything. You think we're setting the scale for the rest of the world. That is not true. The numbers in our nation are plummeting. Do you realize that we have discipled people and sent them to other parts of the world, and they're flourishing, and they're raising up disciples to come back to America to bring us up to where we need to be? Do you realize that is a true narrative that is going on? You're thinking everything comes from here. It's starting to come from other places as well. So one of the things I think we're missing is we're missing that they're already known for this, they're full of the Spirit, and they're full of wisdom, and we appoint them to this duty because the disciples, in a greater wisdom, need to stay with preaching in the ministry of the Word of God. And I know that you think there's great leadership out there to pick from. A pastor and I had this conversation at a funeral this week, and I'm just telling you, the pool to pick from is shallow. It's really, really shallow. You may look at me even with criticism and go, hey, pastor, why don't we have more things? And I'm going to go, part of the reason we don't have more things is we don't have people who fit this bill. They're already known for this. They're full of the Spirit and they're full of wisdom, which leads the disciples to stay focused on prayer and even in the ministry of the word. So the Spirit of wisdom serves. It serves. It will cause you to serve. Acts chapter 6, verses 8 through 10. The Spirit of wisdom is overpowering. Stephen, and I love to read about Stephen. There's just not a lot to read because of what happened later on in his life. But notice it says, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. Verse 9. Then some from what is called the freedmen synagogue, which they believe were slaves that were no longer slaves, and thus they were named this, composed of all these people, I'll just go through that, they were fussing with Stephen. They were disputing what Stephen was saying. Verse 10, but they were unable to stand up against his wisdom and the Spirit by whom he was speaking. If you want a picture here, guys, this is our language. They couldn't one-up him. They literally, in a debate, couldn't one-up Stephen. It also means that that they couldn't get the better of him. They just couldn't do that. And see that the Spirit of wisdom overpowers. I'm not saying you need to walk around in your spiritual strut, and I'm not saying you need to walk around with your chest out and your swag, you know. I'm not saying that you need to talk smack to people because we know that Stephen was full of grace too. But I'm using an illustration that I have to explain, and we're taught in preaching never to do that. But nonetheless, for all of us more mature people in the room, you remember E.F. Hutton commercial. When E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. For all those of you who are younger, you have no clue what I'm talking about. And E.F. Hutton is a financial advisor, and when E.F. Hutton said something, everybody listened. So here's the point in the picture of this is that the Spirit of wisdom overpowers. It didn't mean you go in and start blasting people. But when you speak, it will land. It will have credit and it will have power in it when that happens. God has put so many people in my life that fit that category. When they say something, I listen with full intent because of what and how they live their life. They have the reputation of already, they are already living that way. So look at verse 5, Acts chapter 6, verse 5, it said about Stephen that he is a man full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. Verse 10 tells us that no one could stand against him. Look at verse 8. We'll flip back to verse 8. It says that he is full of grace and power. I want you to notice here. I'm going to put it together for you because your mind probably can't do that right now. But here's Stephen, who's full of faith. He's full of the Holy Spirit. He's full of grace. He's full of power, and he's full of wisdom. And you and I will applaud this. But you can be Stephen. You're going to go, man, that's a good thing that God has going on with Stephen. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad we got a Stephen. You can be Stephen. Be known for this in your life. That's what prayer and the Spirit of God will give you. Look at Luke 21:15. Talking about how wisdom is able to withstand those spiritual conversations that you're in. For I will give you such words and a wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. I'll give that to you. It comes through the person of Christ and it comes through his word. I had somebody tell me one time, and they said to me, and I do use a lot of scripture when I preach, as you probably know, and they said, Pastor, do you think you use too much scripture? I said, are you kidding? Seriously. I mean, I could throw a whole lot here on you even more on what we're doing, but I want it being saturated with his word. And in this, the Spirit of wisdom, when you have adversaries, you will be able to resist and even contradict them and stand on the truth of the gospel. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. And Miles, just go to verse 15 if you don't mind. That godly wisdom is given to us. Even Peter is writing about the wisdom that had been given to Paul here. Also regard the patience of our Lord as an opportunity for salvation, just as our dear brother Paul has written to you according to wisdom. And notice these last three words, given to him. Wisdom that is given to him. People were debating about God being lazy. And so Peter responds that God is not lazy or slow as you regard laziness or slowness. He doesn't want anybody to perish, but he wants all to come to repentance. And so he brings this back to light in verse 15, that I want to remind you that God's not lazy, he's patient. And the reason he's patient is an opportunity for salvation, just as Paul had been given this wisdom. Do you see the wisdom there? When people are saying that God is lazy and slow, then the wisdom comes out that God's not slow, he's patient. Now just stop for a moment. Aren't you glad he was patient with you? Man, let me raise my hand first. You know, I went back home and I was talking to some people that have known me since I was a little boy. And one of them introduced me to his grandson, who's going to be a doctor. And he said, I remember Jeff when ministry was the last thing on his mind. And I'm like, I told the story in the wedding, and it was all about how God can see far greater than we can see. And there I am with Dustin and Grayson, and I'm Dustin's pastor, parents' pastor. People from our church are there. I'm Grayson. I was her great, great, great grandmother's pastor. Did her funeral, Miss Eunice. And so it goes back a long way. And then the other side, her dad's side of the family, her mother, goes way, way back. And I said, it's amazing to me that I used to sit in the balcony, and it's when we had bulletins, amen? Right? And I'd make a paper airplane out of the bulletin, and I'd be in the back row of the balcony. And actually, it's a church that your grandfather pastored, D, that I'm talking about. I'd try to hit Buck Short in the back of the head with a paper airplane. I'd glide that thing, you know, and there's Buck and his wife Irene. I'm trying to ding his head, you know. And Dad would call on me and make me walk out of the balcony and go sit on the stage with him. And I know that you're thinking that's the punishment. Oh, no, no. That was the prequel to the punishment. All right, the punishment came later. That move was just a promise. And I'm saying all this because there was no thought of me serving the Lord in any capacity in some of my time in that church. But God saw a day that he would call me to ministry, and he saw a day that I would do a wedding of Dustin and Grayson, and Dustin and Grayson are called into ministry, and only God can see that picture. I was overwhelmed. God gave me wisdom in that moment that I've been working in your life when you didn't think I was doing anything. And so I just want to tell you, God's not lazy. The Father is always at work. He's at work in situations right now that you don't even know about. He's working on problems that you've never even given to him. He is putting things together as you sit here and wonder if he ever will. And he is patient. And I'm going to raise both my hands and say, God, thank you for being patient on me. And being patient with me, because his patience is all about leading to salvation in people. See that? Also regard the patience of our Lord as an opportunity for salvation. And God will one day, just like even that moment yesterday, and I just started crying. I was all snotty-nosed and ruined the video and everything. But God in that moment showed me. Do you hear me? that look at what I have put together. And it was just overwhelming for me to see that and the beauty of that. And we're thankful that God is patient. They're saying our God is lazy. Our God is, the wisdom of that is, he's not lazy. He's always at work, and he's putting all of this together. We rejoice in the fact of that. And listen, with everything going on, don't even know, I can be a weather nerd. I guess when you get older, you just watch the weather. I mean, I'll watch it at 10 o'clock and then turn around at 12, see if it's changed. You know what I'm saying? So, but there's the possibility of another hurricane taking the very same path of the one that just happened. And I'm going, gosh, man. I mean, North Carolina, is, we know the coast has been hit, but 30 inches of rain in some areas of North Carolina. Towns wiped out. Some I went to as a boy, Chimney Rock, you know, going, just wiped out, just gone. Roads gone. You can't travel I-40, you know, even if you want to, because part of the interstate is just literally gone. And I don't know about you, but you may come to me and say, hey, Jeff, what's God doing? I don't know all of it, but I know he's doing something. But I can lean on my experience in his word and tell you this. God will get our attention. Yep. If you want me to boil it down, I don't know when he's coming back. I just know we pray to come back swiftly. Some people, they can be more in tune to know specifically. I don't know when he's coming back. I just know that he is coming back. And I do know that he asked me to pray for the swift return of him and to look for his return. I do know that. But I can say one thing about what I think is going on is that he is looking to get our attention. One of the things you're going to find in just a moment is that praying and the spirit of wisdom hang out together. And if you're going, well, I don't have the spirit of praying, then I'm going to say, okay, the spirit of wisdom, I'm going to ask, are you praying? Because praying and that go together. The spirit of wisdom end up going together. And I don't know all that what he's up to. I do know that he's at work, but I do know that he gets our attention. Folks, listen to me. And I just want you to hear my heart. This generation is moving so fast, and you're going to say, I wish you'd get off that. I'm never going to get off that. Because you're moving faster than you ever have. And the more fast you move, the less focus you're going to have. I mean, the road itself, if we want to use an analogy, has road hypnotism. How many of us have driven 50 or 60 miles and never even realized the last 50 or 60 miles that we've driven? We've done that. Our life can resemble the very same picture. And we're moving so fast, we're not paying attention to him. We're not even stopping to pray. We may even have, and I grew up with it called an unction, right? But we may have a desire to pray and we feel like the Holy Spirit, but yet our life is so busy. It's like, we'll get to that later. And then you don't get to that later. And then me and you go, why don't we hear from God? Why do I not have the spirit of wisdom? Why do I not have those things? Because you're going to find out in a minute that praying and the spirit of wisdom, they not only hang out together on a Friday night, they hang out together every night. And it becomes a beautiful picture. But I do know he's getting our attention. I mean, my heart, I just kept saying to Julie, my heart is just dying for these people. Lives have been lost. Folks haven't been found. There's still folks from the Eastern Kentucky flood that haven't been found. And some lives, some are going to be able to build them back. Some of them's life has changed for the rest of their life. Life that they knew it is just completely gone. And here's what I want to remind you of. Colossians 1 says that he, the Lord Jesus, is preeminent. He's number one or he's nothing. He's not number two. And he's not even negotiating with you to be his top five, your top five. And you're going, preacher, you say that all the time. And you may be happy when you get a new preacher one day, and one day you will. But until that time, I'm going to remind you that he requires number one in your life. Number two, number three, number four, number five don't get it. They don't cut it. He says, you're either for me or against me. You either drink from the cup of the Lord or you drink from the cup of demons. It's just the way it is. So do I know everything that he's doing? No, but I do know him enough from his word and experience of his word that he will remind you that he is to be first place in your life. And if he's not first place, he has no place. So that's why I'm going to bark at you about slowing down. Pay attention. Pay attention to what he's doing. Just yesterday in a wedding, I already told you, he gave me that moment of wisdom. I just want you to know, while you were up there, I was doing something, and I brought it to this day, and it just overwhelmed me. And he continues to give you that wisdom. And he gives you that wisdom so that you will serve him. He gives you that wisdom so that you, in a conversation, you will be able to defend the gospel. You'll be able to do that. He gives you that wisdom because he wants you to have it. You can be Stephen. It's just not for Stephen. It's a picture of who we can be. And God gives you that wisdom to empower you. And even in prayer, look at Colossians 1:9. We're going to wrap this all up right here. In Colossians 1:9. It says, for this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Do you see how praying and the spirit of wisdom all go together? I want you to pay attention to this. Let's dissect this just a moment. He said, for this reason also, since the day we heard this. That's when they started praying, since the very day they heard this. There's a duration to that. We've been, who knows how long that's been. But since the day we heard that, we've started praying. You know what you all do? You all feel the unction to pray, but you'll get me to do it. Let's get the preacher on it. You know, like I'm some incredible beagle hound that can find rabbits in anywhere, you know? And only you hunters will get that. Those of you, you'll Google it, you know, look it up on YouTube. But do you see them? You know, you feel the sense of praying, but you'll go, well, let's give it to our church leadership. Look what he says. For this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying. Not only the duration of prayer, but the depth of prayer. We've not quit praying, and we're asking that you'll be filled with knowledge of his will, wisdom, and spiritual understanding. Prayer and wisdom hang out every day, every night. And you're going, why? Why do it? Because we want you filled with the knowledge of his will. I'm going to be the little two-year-old and ask all the why questions, okay? Why? Why do we do it? Because we want you filled with the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Well, why? Look at verse 10. I'll show you why. It says, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing on him. Let's go back to Acts 6. You're already known for this. I'm not going to be that. I'm already known for this. Bring my name up. Bring your name up. What are you known for? Let it be known that I walk worthy of the Lord. I'm fully pleasing to him. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm growing in the knowledge of the Lord. Oh, please. Please. Ask the Lord to give you the spirit of wisdom. I don't think we pay attention to it enough. You and I, we run fast, we're educated, we've got degrees, you have them, I have them. We know a lot of things, we've got data at our fingertips. We can read news feeds just in a matter of minutes. And it's incredible that we're gaining knowledge, but we don't understand the truth. And in the picture of this, you and I become so educated and so well-versed that we lean on our understanding. And I want to take you to the proverb writer. Chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Know what the next one is? Lean not to your own understanding. Guys, we do. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he, what's the promise? He will direct your path. And it'll be in the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and understanding of who he is. And I pray that we're there. Even Samuel wrote, God, forgive me of the sin of prayerlessness. I have failed to pray for my people. He even, Samuel, declared it as a sin to not pray. Because if you want wisdom and knowledge and understanding, then you got to go to him from it. And from today's sermon where Peter said about Paul, he'll give it to you. Gosh, may we go there. I on purpose didn't pray. Some of you are like, we didn't do our prayer right before we preached. So I do my common prayer. We're going to pray right now. And I want to begin by talking about the Lord's Supper. If you're here, we practice open communion. If you're here, you're a believer, you've been baptized, we invite you to the table. It's not my table, it's his table. And on this table is the bread that represents the body of Christ given to us. Also, the drink represents the blood of Christ. Without it, we can't be forgiven. And we're going to pray. We're going to pray about the devastations that surround us. And just follow me. We'll get there, I promise. And some ministries that we're involved in, we're going to pray for those. And then we're going to let that prayer lead us in remembrance of him today, of all that he has done for us. So would you bow with me, church? Will you do that? And let's tell the Father that we love him today from our heart to his heart. I love you, Lord. You are our strength. And then let your prayer move to being grateful and thankful. Just let the Holy Spirit well up in your heart what you need to be thankful for in this prayer. We give thanks. There are people who overlap in your life, and we'll get to the flooding and the devastation in a minute. Right now, I just want you focused on folks in your daily living here that overflow into you, overlap into your life, that you have a concern for, a burden for. Lift these people up to our Heavenly Father, their name. We pray for the nations. Our history and biblical history show that God has swept nations. And then my prayer is, do it again, Lord. Do it again. You may have nations that you have an affinity to through ministry. Pray for them. You have friends that are missionaries or ministers in other nations. Could be nations where you've even served in the military. You've even traveled to on vacation, that you just have a love for them. Pray for the nations. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. What's going on with Israel, Hamas, Gaza, Lebanon, Hezbollah. It seems like the more we pray, the wider it gets, but we're mandated to pray. We leave the result to the Lord, but he asks us to pray in Scripture. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and God will find favor with you. Pray for the peace of the Ukraine and Russia war, other outbreaks. Pray for ministries that we sponsor in Haiti with Disciples Village, with Tumani in Kenya, Miss Rose, that we do with Guatemala, Hope for Tomorrow, the children there, that we do with Honduras, Sparrow Missions, that we do with Justin and Ashley in creating a church in Thailand, Pastor Ock as they work together with him. And pray for our nation. We get frustrated. I do, you do, we do. Pray that our hearts would turn to him again. Pray that he give us godly wisdom. Pray for those devastated in the hurricane, and we know it's from Florida to North Carolina. Pray for the relief effort, the rescue efforts, the recovery efforts. They're having to fly in by helicopter, water and goods because of the roads. I think there's some 400 roads closed in North Carolina, 30 inches of rain in some areas. Pray for the first responders. There are people who are responding, first responders, and they've lost all that they've had, but they continue to bless others. Pray for the food effort. Our disaster relief that we're connected with in this church is being stationed in Valdosta, Georgia. And our state DR, and there are people in our church that are heavily involved in that and also gone to that. Our feeding units are there. We're feeding 10,000 meals per day. It's a bunch. Displaced people, the utility workers, the first responders, we're making sure they're all fed. Pray for them. We as a church will be giving to disaster relief. If you want to add to that, you can, but your tithes go to that as well. We're going to be blessing them with what they need. But pray for them and those workers. It'll be 3 meals a day, 10,000 meals per day. And pray for the gospel. Chaplains and people are going to be there to minister to their needs, that they would hear the gospel and the promise of God. Would you pray for people who are around you? Maybe your family's with you. If your family isn't, pray for them wherever they are. Pray blessings over people. Be a blessing to people. Be known for that. Ask the Lord to bless your offering today. Will we even be using that to bless people who have been displaced and hurt by this hurricane? And then, guys, you're an offering to him. You're a greater offering. And say, Lord, here I am, send me. Teach me, Lord, how to be a Stephen, full of grace and power, faith, the Holy Spirit and wisdom. He loves you. He has called you according to his purpose. Lord, I may have brought a tithe today, but I bring me today. And then let's remember the one who gave us the greatest sacrifice, Jesus. I can't work my way to heaven. I can't work my way to faith. It's only on the work that he has done. And he came and he paid the price for us, our sin, our rebellion, so that we could be forgiven and we could be free. And we thank him. In the words of Paul, he's the indescribable gift. And we remember his body given, and we remember today his blood shed, and we say thank you. And on top of that, thank you for being patient with us, because patience gives the opportunity for me and you to be saved. And we thank you for that salvation. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. Church, let's stand. You can take communion here in the altar. Take the elements back to your seat. Whatever you need to do, the team's going to lead us. The invitation is for you to come.